going on out there, y'all. And thanks again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam, and of course, as always, my friend and confidant, Mr. Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in Skeleton Studios, ready to go. Got some interesting stories for y'all today concerning shadow beings and dark entities in your room. Are they extraterrestrial? Are they demons?
Demons.
No one really knows. I just got back recently from going to Six Flags.
Nobody cares.
With the family. And I didn't want to go, but my wife and kids talked me into going. So
and I how went great of a time did you have?
I had a terrible time. I should have listened to my gut instinct. It was horrible. I was there for 5 hours. I think I rode one ride.
Yeah. You're too old for it. You've outgrown it.
Well, that's what I noticed. When I was there, I had to like nudge my wife and say, hey, look, you know, you don't see that many people our age here, right? It's mostly kids, teenagers.
Yep.
Too old for it. But the reason I wanted to go is I hadn't been in about 10 years, and I was looking forward to riding a bunch of roller coasters, and I just didn't get to. Luke was scared to do anything fun. He only runs to ride the little rides. He's not – I tried to bribe him with toys and things like that.
He's in that in-between age.
Yeah, so –
that's where he's not quite like the preteen, but he's also – you know, he still wants to be little, but he also wants to be big, so it's a hard age for him right now.
We rode the mine train, but then after that, he was out on a lot of the big stuff.
Now, that thing still as rough as it always been? Oh, where, like, yeah. Trust to beat your kidneys out?
Yeah, it was rough. And so I got to ride this giant swing thing, but I had waited in line to ride the Riddler, and I was in line for an hour, and I'm telling you, literally we were the next people in line to get on, and it broke. And then they were working on it for like 15 minutes.
Oh.
And I'm like, this is the point of me where like, is this a sign like from the heavens? Like, do not get on this ride. It's evidently not working. So I asked the young girl that was there operating it, that worked there. And I was like, how often does this happen? Does this thing? She goes, it doesn't normally happen, but it's happened twice today. So I looked at my wife and I said, I'm out.
Not getting on that one.
I don't want to be one of those headlines if something tragic happens. So we left. And then later, I saw.
You don't trust your luck to it?
I think they finally got it working again, and I think everything was fine. But look, when I see one of those rides like that and then the thing's malfunctioning, I'm out.
But imagine when you were kids. Remember the shady ones we used to climb on all the time?
Traveling carnivals?
Yes.
I think it's because our city doesn't allow that anymore. I don't see them as much as when they're a kid, but I'm sure that they still exist.
Something wicked this way comes.
Right?
Yeah. All the time. Hey, I got something cool I have to share with y'all.
Okay.
This is something that I'm sure if you're a listener to this and you like ancient history, this probably won't come to a shock to you. But this was posted by Tom Metcalf this week off of NBC News. The headline reads, fossil footprints show humans in North America more than 21,000 years ago. That's right, folks. Get a load of this. They talk about a fellow named David Bustos and that he was going to be a wildlife scientist in 2005 at the White Sands National Park in New Mexico. And he had heard about what's known as ghost tracks. And what that is when the ground is wet during certain times of the year, they said these ghostly footprints would appear on what they've written in here as an otherwise blank earth. And then they disappear when they dry out. But back in 2016... 10 years or so after this fellow had talked about this, scientists confirmed that ghost tracks have been made by real people. And it's only now that some of the ancient footprints at White Sands have been dated as the earliest in North America. Bustos is quoted saying that we'd been suspicious of the age for a while, and so now we fully have this, and it's really exciting. And one of the neat things is you can see mammoth prints in the layers a meter or so above the human footprints. So that just helps to confirm the whole story. So I was looking and reading through this because I'm like, well, how would you know, right? How do you know when it is? Get a load of this. They were dated by examining the seeds of an aquatic plant that once thrived along the shores of a dried up lake. It's commonly known as ditch grass. And according to this research that was just published this past Thursday in the journal Science, and it was co-authored by Bustos, the fellow they've interviewed, this ancient ditch grass seeds were found in layers of hard earth both above and below the human footprints. So they could radiocarbon date the seed below and above.
Right, because it's organic material. Yep. Right, okay.
And know exactly. So that's how they ended up doing it. And what they believe now, going off those dates, is that humans, the oldest evidence of humans anywhere in the Americas, but that they started living here or in that area 21,000 to 23,000 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, I believe that totally.
And, of course, now here's the cool thing. It was in an old paleo lake that's very rich where this gypsum earth is. And that's why, of course, you know, that's why it's white sands. But that's where these prints were made. And, of course, they start talking about, you know, being here prior to the Ice Age, the last glacial maximum. They go into all that. But they now have proof that there were people. Of course, most of us that are into ancient history didn't doubt it anyway. But now it appears that they have fossilized proof that they were human beings living in the Americas prior to the last Ice Age.
So are they getting any pushback from anthropologists or anything?
Well,
about
it just popped out now, so I don't know. So this is going to be something we'll have to kind of keep up with, take a look at and see. But as of right now, this is all that we know.
Yeah, because I think a lot more of this is starting to come out. Because when you're young, you're taught, for whatever reason, that like North America was just a vast, unexplored place on earth, and it wasn't until the land bridge over there from Siberia that's when people started coming over here. But mm-hmm. more and more research shows that there was people here all the whole time.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way a lot of the world is.
Oh, for sure. What's interesting about these tracks is they've narrowed it down to where they believe it's made by teenagers and children, and that those tracks outnumber the adult size tracks. And why they believe in that is they believe that those were the gatherers. Those were the ones going to retrieve water, going to retrieve things. And maybe more of the adults were actually out hunting or doing other things.
That makes sense. I mean, if it's, especially if it's along the shoreline, people are looking for, you know, crustaceans and things like that.
Pretty interesting, man.
Very interesting. Check this one out. This comes from a listener. It says, "Hey, fellas, longtime fan here. Thank you for the House of Thought-provoking and entertaining content. I've left reviews on iTunes, and yours is the only show I regularly listen to. I wanted to share a story that I have been telling to most anyone who will listen. I heard it around 1995. This has to do with a buddy of mine that I served with in the National Guard when I was in grad school. As he was also a civilian police officer, and he and I were often stuck in a guard shack for 12 hours at a time. We often had nothing to do but to talk. Often this was throughout the night, and I desperately needed him to talk so I could stay awake. I once asked him, what was the strangest call he ever got as a civilian police officer? He told me that once he had been dispatched to a scene and the code that the dispatch officer had given him was that of a domestic disturbance. Well, okay, my buddy, let's call him Freddie, had been a police officer for around 8 years. He was honorable always. He was sober and honest to a fault. No cussing, no drinking, no smoking. Anyways, on this particular night, he had been paired with a young guy who had just started as a cop. This was in the early 1990s. As Freddie and the rookie showed up to the call, they noticed right away that an elderly lady was on the front porch of the house where they were dispatched to. As they approached the house cautiously, they asked her if she was all right. Her initial sentence was, I'm okay, but Satan may be in my basement. My buddy asked her if there was anybody else in the house, if there were any dogs in the house or any firearms in the house. You know, those basic cop questions. Her response to these questions were in the negative, but again, that Satan may be in my basement. The rookie was just a little bit too gung-ho and told her that they would go and check out the basement right away. My buddy was not too happy about his partner jumping the gun, but now that he had told her this, he did not feel like he could contradict this plan. After once again confirming that nobody else was in the house and there were no animals in the house, they walked in and proceeded to walk down into the basement. My buddy told me that he was just a little nervous and kept his hand on his holster. As they got down into the basement, he sent his partner to the far side of the basement to check for anything unusual. As he did the same thing near the side of the basement where the steps landed, Freddie said that he was bent over, looking through an area that had several cardboard boxes. And before he could completely look around, he felt someone come up behind him and push him at the shoulder level, nearly knocking him over. He immediately drew his weapon and swiveled around, but no one was there. He yelled out to his partner, and despite knowing the answer, he asked the rookie if he had just pushed him. And the partner told him no, that he was all the way over on the other side of the room. How the heck could he have pushed him from all the way over there? My buddy then said, he told his partner, come on, it's time to leave. I asked him what he told the lady who owned the house, and he told me, "Smitty, when I die, if I stand in judgment for anything, it's that I went right upstairs and told that the lady that there was nothing wrong, and I drove off." There you have it, fellas. Good luck, God bless, and please keep up the good work, Smitty.
Whew.
Wow. I like that the officer felt regret that he told the lady everything was fine and just got in the car and drove off.
Yeah.
Because he knew something was down there.
Something dark is
something
down there.
Pushed
you can
him.
Feel it.
Crazy. Dude, that is, yeah.
I hate those ideas of that stuff like that, man.
But again, I like it when somebody from their occupation is what makes the sighting more credible, right?
Yes, it feels.
I don't know why that is. It's just a gut feeling. But yeah. I like stories like that.
It's awesome. Thanks for sending it in.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get into the show. But before we get into these stories of shadow beings and things like that, let's take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to be talking about these crazy demonic spirits or whatever they are. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. This is a subject that comes up quite a bit. We get probably more emails about things in people's rooms, strange sightings.
Shadow Man and Dog Man.
Yeah. I mean, just for whatever reason, I think that a lot of
Glimmer
people
Man
experienced. Yeah. Well, not as many as Shadow Being sightings, for sure. And I've got some truly horrible ones sent to us over the years. And that's the thing, is people don't know what this is. Is it a demonic energy? Is it a ghost? Is it an extraterrestrial? This is how it manifests itself. I have no idea why people see them with hats on, though.
Yeah.
That is odd. But anyways, we get these stories from time to time. So on today's show, we're going to share a couple of these. Check this first one out. It says, "Hello, Kyle and Cam. I'm a big fan of Expanded Perspectives and have recently decided to write in and share my experiences. I really am one to make a big deal of things, let alone tell anyone weird, unbelievable stuff. But these are some experiences that I recently had in a house we lived in for little under a year. We moved into this house in October of 2001. The first 2 or 3 months were all fine. I had just taken a new job and had to move the family 3 hours away from where we previously lived. The kids were still young, and our move was an upgrade. It was a bigger and nicer home than we previously lived in. Everyone seemed to like the new place. We liked the new town. My kids enjoyed the schools and the neighborhood, of course. Everything was great. And most of all, I liked my new job. Then around the first year, my 4-year-old, then 3 at the time, started waking up in the middle of the night, absolutely terrified. She would say that there was a monster in her room. Now, of course, I brushed this off as childhood nightmares. I would try to console her by telling her that everything was fine and that there was no such thing as monsters, and there were definitely not any monsters in her room. I would let her watch me as I searched under the bed, behind the curtains, and in the closet. Once she was satisfied that nothing was in the room, she would begin to relax and fall back to sleep. Now, this would continue to happen over the next couple of weeks, and the frequency was increasing to the point that, I'll be honest, I was starting to get annoyed. Then in late February, I started having trouble sleeping. I began to wake up in the middle of the night, and I always had this strange feeling that someone was staring at me. I want to note that at this time, my daughter stopped getting up. Upon looking in the general vicinity of wherever I got this feeling whenever I would wake up, I would always look in the same corner. That's where I felt this energy. One time I was looking in the corner and I could see a shadowy black and gray looking apparition that would be gone as soon as my eyes tried to focus on it. Whenever this would happen, it would give me the chills and I eventually would fall back to sleep. This occurred 2 or 3 times a week for months. The same nightly scenario. I'd wake up, try to focus on whatever it was in the corner, and it would be gone. Or I'd wake up to see it more clearly, and I'd quickly fumble around for the TV remote to turn it on, to get some light, and it would be gone. I say turn on the TV because I didn't have a nightstand with a lamp or anything, and the TV remote would be in the bed with me, so that would be the quickest way to illuminate the bedroom without having to get up out of bed. Only once did my fiance actually see the apparition too. I think it was in June. She woke me up in the middle of the night and said she saw a faceless child standing next to her bed about 3 feet from her side of the bed. As soon as she looked at the face, she said it was gone. I then got up and telling her it must have been my daughter. I went into her room and she was fast asleep in her bed. Other than this time, she never saw anything again. The most frightening experience with it was in late August when I woke up out of a dead sleep again and did the same routine, except this time it didn't disappear right away. It stayed floating in the corner of the room. It was a swirling black cloud with some gray in it, probably 4 or 5 feet long and 1.5 to 2 feet wide. I will honestly say I have not felt that kind of fear ever in my life. It felt like there was pure evil in the room. I couldn't move, but I was able to nudge my fiance and look, there it is. That thing I keep seeing. With that, she rolled over and right after she turned over, it disappeared. We ended up moving out of that house, and since moving on, I've never woken up in the night and had some similar experience. I did ask a few people about the history of the house, but to no one's recollection, no one else ever experienced anything like we did in that home. I don't know what it was or what it wanted. Thanks for the cool show. Take care, John.
Wow.
What's odd is, well, there's a lot that's odd, but what I like.
First of all, thanks for sharing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was cool that, I know this is going to sound mean, but I think it's cool that the daughter was having these experiences and he was just kind of, you know, not acknowledging it. Like, yeah, you're just having nightmares or whatever. But then he started having experiences. But when he was having his experiences, she no longer was. Like, it had left the daughter alone and moved on to him.
Like when it realized that he wasn't believing, he's like, oh, okay.
Or like the ghost just got bored or whatever it was. Like, it's not having any effect on her. I'm going to try the next room.
Or it drained her of whatever energy it was trying to feed off maybe. Of and moved on to someone else where the fear was greater with him, right? And so it's a better meal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I would say, now I know that this is crazy, but like, if you have an experience one time, I get it. You're not prepared. But if you're having the same experience since 2 or 3 times a week for months, wouldn't you try to like try to start capturing it? Like I would go buy some cameras, put them in the room. I would start taking steps to see if I could capture something so I could show others that I'm not completely crazy.
Yeah, but you also don't know how it's going to affect you. Like that may not be, it may do something to the way you think. Like you may not rationally think about that once you've been had this happen to you.
Yeah.
Like it's, you know what I mean? It's hard. Like it's easy to say now that that's what I would do.
Yeah.
Because it's not just like, you know, you all the time, oh, I would have shot it. Oh, I would have done this. Right. Like, yeah, but you didn't, you know, because it's easier to say that when you're not playing in the, just like how many times, you know, like we always talk about sporting events, everybody loves to armchair quarterback it. I would love to say that if I was having something like that, I would set it up. But then the other trouble is what would be worse is if you have to, okay, let's say you set it all up.
Yeah.
You go to that trouble. It happens to you. You go back and there's no proof of it.
Well, then you'd have to think that maybe I'm going crazy.
Yeah.
I'm losing my mind.
But it seems there. So real. So the people that are really, truly crazy don't think they're really, truly crazy.
I'd like to get one of those shoebox sized traps that they use in Ghostbusters.
Now you're talking.
Suck that thing
now
in
you're
there.
Talking. Yes.
But I don't know how to put it in that storage facility.
They got out of the storage facility. You always leave it in the trap. You just leave it in the trap and just put the trap in like a safety deposit box and move on. Right? Just be like, I'm out.
I always wondered that. Speaking of that, where's the new Ghostbusters movie?
I know. Don't get me started on new movies. Listen, I found this is one I come across. I'm going to share with y'all. See what y'all think about this. It says it was late at night, about 11 p.m. This happened almost 2 years ago. I was staying up all day to fix my bad sleep schedule. It was about the time for me to go to bed, but I wanted to stay up a little longer. My uncle offered me to go for a drive to pick up my grandma from work. I often go for these rides anyways. She works in the town over, and it's about a 30-minute drive. Well, since I was awake for over 24 hours straight at this point, I was a bit lightheaded and tired. The ride to my grandma's work was normal, but the ride home is something I will never forget. I was staring out my window the whole ride. And we were almost home at this point. We passed by my town museum, only a few blocks from my house. Across the street from the museum, I see the silhouette of a very tall man on the sidewalk walking towards us. This man was at least over 9 foot tall compared to the size of the building he was walking next to.
What?
My heart sank to the bottom of my stomach. He was very wide in stature, too, anything but slender in appearance. He was wearing an early 1900s outfit with a long coat and a top hat. Despite walking under a lamppost, he was almost completely black. As I see him walking, he fades slowly into thin air right in front of my eyes. I could only make out his silhouette for a mere second. The only explanation I have is that I was seeing things because I was so tired. I've never mentioned it to anyone since because of that, but I can't help think that there is more meaning to this whole thing.
Man, get that guy a basketball contract. 9 foot tall.
I picture the outline like the of
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That's who he saw.
But I'm thinking about, remember the old Dick Tracy movie with Madonna in it?
Oh, yeah. With and Warren Beatty. Yeah.
Remember the guy in there that's got like the, man, he talks with the big voice. Oh, and he's supposed to be like the bruiser guy, right? And there's other movies from the 50s. It's got that character in there. For some reason, a 9 foot version of that is what popped into my head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now this one here is with a top hat.
What is up with the hat?
And this isn't the only one. I have found stories now of cloaked or hooded shadow beings that more and more people are coming forward, and they're big.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Check this one out. It says, hello, I'm describing my first experience that I can remember here with what the two of you call shadow beings.
Word.
I believe I was 9 years old at the time of my very first experience, and I'd gone to bed on a Saturday night, probably between the hours of 10 and 11 p.m. I lived in Cambridge, Ontario, Canada. My bedroom was on the top floor of our house in a turret. There was a single twin-size bed on either side of the room, which was in the shape of an octagon. For whatever reason, I woke up. Now, this isn't unusual. I often will wake up in the middle of the night, roll over, adjust the covers, or grab a quick drink of water and then go back to bed. This time, however, I just rolled over and started trying to look across the room at the other bed. When I did this, I could clearly see my cat, Jonesy, sleeping on the other bed. Nice. The name Jonesy, do you know what that's from? A cat named Jonesy? That is Sigourney Weaver's cat in the movie Alien.
There you go.
It's a great name, right? He always did this. It wasn't unusual at all. I then looked at the clock radio, which had been acting strangely over the past few weeks. It had been turning itself on and off all by itself, usually around the same time every night. Perhaps I had gotten so used to it, that's why I had woken up. But the time on it said 12:15 a.m. I tried to roll over and go back to sleep. Suddenly, I found myself paralyzed. I was on my back and I was unable to move. I couldn't roll over and go back to bed like I wanted. There was a very small and short, dark-looking being standing beside me to the left. The right side of my bed was up against the wall. This being was also a shadow. That's what it looked like. It began to communicate with me via ESP. I was somehow able to communicate back with it the same way. I do not remember everything. I do remember it asking me if I wanted to join it on its ship. Then suddenly, a craft appeared by the window outside of my room. I saw green and greenish blue and violet looking lights that were flashing from a silver disc-like craft that was being operated by others that were now in the room with me. During this period of time, the shadowy being took what was, to me, its index finger and touched me on my solar plexus. That's when I was able to move again. My cat was not on the other bed, and the clock radio said it was only midnight. I thought I had experienced a bad dream. The following morning, I went to get into the shower, and on my solar plexus was a marking. It remained there for a number of years and remained very sensitive for a while. It comes and goes now. When that spot on me is touched, I feel as if endorphins or something is being released. I've had other experiences since this one, and I've had numerous such sightings and strange things in the sky over the years, but I've never felt paralyzed in bed before since that time. Seeing strange lights and flashes and shadows, I haven't seen any of those either.
This was a strange experience that happened to me when I was young, and I don't know what it really was. Thanks for all you do, KC. So this is
I don't like the idea. Touch them.
This is one of those sightings that I've talked about earlier in the show that's like, it's seems more extraterrestrial than demonic.
Yes.
Is that a way? Is that how they're able to pass through the walls into your bedroom? Is they become like a mist, like a vampire, where like smoke
under
mist,
the door,
under through the windowsill, right? And then that's the way it does. I don't know.
Like if like what was it? The Mummy with Brendan Fraser. Remember, it's like it's dust or it's sand and it can move around.
Yeah,
like a vampire.
You know, that's what I'm picturing.
The vampire.
You know, like they become mist or. Or whatever. I don't know. And that's, you know, that's not the only time I've heard of people having sightings of the Greys. And they say that they didn't feel it felt demonic. I don't know.
Yeah. I just don't like we've talked about, anything with the shadows. Because there's shadows everywhere.
Yeah. That's,
like, it's always one of those things. There's always a shadow. So it hides. Wasn't there like a, what was it, a movie? Or is there an episode of like Black Mirror? There's got to be something I remember seeing to where the things come from the shadows. So there's like anywhere you're at, like you sit in a well-lit room and the shadow under your computer screen, the thing can reach out and get you.
I think I know what you're talking about. I don't remember what
that
was on. I don't
remember what it was. Yeah, that was it. Listen to this one as far as people seeing it. So I got to looking a while back when I was talking about people in the medical profession having strange things happen. And I had found this story that I thought was interesting, and I'm glad I saved it for this. It says, I was at the hospital while in university with a sudden illness. My boyfriend had dumped me, and on top of this, I had this mystery illness, which later got properly diagnosed. It says, hundreds of miles from home with nobody at my side, I was scared and in excruciating pain without the comfort of a familiar face. I was waiting for the nurse to come back to administer the first course of morphine and watched her bustling about. And at one point, she looked at me, froze solid, and then came to my bedside. She asked me if I'd had a male relative die lately. I told her that my grandfather died a few years prior. She then told me that when she passed by, she saw a tall and broad dark figure of a man standing over me. I didn't know whether to be scared or relieved. If it was Pop there with me that night, I'm grateful that he came to be at my bedside of his pirate, which was his nickname for me, when I was so afraid. Now, if it was something else, though, something sinister, well... Oh, God help me.
Ooh.
So the nurse witnessed it. Well, that wasn't the only thing. I have read stories on here about nurses talking about being on certain units that used to be a pediatric unit.
Mm-hmm.
And now it was for elderly care, like emergency medical elderly care, where they could go and recover on this certain floor. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say they called it skilled nursing. But anyway, it was on an old abandoned, not really abandoned. They just moved it around, moved the pediatrics, redid something else and all this. And the elderly people would report it was hard for them to sleep at night because they could hear children playing through the whole evening. And the nurses would just say, oh, we'll take care of it. We'll take care of it. And they've even, I read on there that one of the nurses came forward and said that they have had video footage of eerily like strange looking shadow figures caught on security tapes in the hospital she worked in, and they would just delete them and move on. They would, everybody would get around the nurse's station and check it all out, and then just like bloop, you do not, we're not even going down that path.
I've seen films of videos of like you can see like shadow things, shadows moving through the frames.
How weird is that?
It is weird. And what's also kind of creepy is like the children, for whatever reason, are visiting the elderly.
Yes. Right? Just playing. Like they can hear them laughing, running up and down the halls. They're like, we can hear them outside the halls. They're like, oh, we'll go calm. And it, you have to imagine, is it only because maybe they've heard that it used to be a pediatric floor? Maybe there's still a sign. It's something that stuck in their head. I know when my mother-in-law was still alive, you could plant a seed in her head. If she got one thing focused on, like if she knew she was going to the grocery store on, let's say, Thursday morning at 10, she would stay up all night the night before, just so she could be ready to go to the grocery store.
That's crazy.
Because she would just obsess over it with her head injuries. And she would do it as she, you know, as she progressed on with dementia and whatnot and the head injury, you could see it get worse and worse. So I wonder if that's part of it or if it's simply the fact that they don't know. You wouldn't know if you were elderly and you had broken a hip and they brought you in. They said, hey, we're going to the special skills unit. We have to go in there. This is where you're going to stay for the next 2 weeks, like a rehab. You would never have any idea. And then you would hear it and be like, hey, can you tell the kids to keep it down? We keep hearing children.
Right.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
Maybe it's because they're close to the end and the children are trying to cheer them up, not to be, you know, don't maybe worry.
It's, you know, yeah.
The transition's going to be okay. You're going to be all right.
It's a very... Yeah, there's so many questions. Like we said, dude, it makes you ask so many more questions now.
Yeah, very interesting. Check this out. Shadow people are some of the most menacing and frightening entities around.
I agree.
I believe they are of a demonic nature. Not only do these dark, shadowy figures cause anxiety and terror, but they often enjoy terrorizing people in their beds. Most shadow people are not alone, but have partners in crime. The shadows that terrorized me were never alone. Sometimes my bedroom would be filled with dozens of big and small. Some could touch me. These shadows would pinch me. It wasn't until I was maybe about the age of 9 that I finally told my parents about these entities, and it caused quite a stir in my family. As usual, my parents thought I was suffering from nightmares and suggested that I eat less before bedtime. Without fail, these shadows returned almost every night.
Would that work? That makes you have bad dreams if you eat too much?
I don't know.
I don't know if I believe that because I eat a lot. I don't have any bad dreams.
You like ice cream before bed? It wasn't until one night I couldn't stand hearing their laughter that I resisted their powers to make people catatonic or to be paralyzed in a state that they cannot move, and that the reality of the situation was no longer a joke to my mother. As my bed began to shake violently, as if a giant hand were shaking it, I jumped out of my bed and ran so fast that I don't even remember running into my mom's room. I jumped on her bed in the dark, and that's when her bed started shaking too. She held me in her arms, and as she prayed out loud to God, and slowly the shaking resided. By the end of the month, we moved out of that home. Now, this is what I gathered from that experience. One, that house was extremely old. I don't know if that had anything to do with it or not. Oof. But there was a bad vibe there from day one. A lot of crazy things happened there with my family fighting all the time. Never in the history of my family had there been so many arguments and cases of domestic violence and abuse. Two, besides fights and arguments, there was a vibe of mischievousness. When I played in that house, it was almost as if all of us were in some kind of altered state, like some kind of dimensional trance. A good example of this was the movie E.T., where the kid gets aroused in the classroom and he starts releasing the frogs. Yeah, I can't remember the whole thing. Let's just put it this way. I guess I went through an intense puberty there. I remember having bad thoughts all the time. I remember my best friend Diana flirting with me and me acting immature, but only in that house. When we played outside, she was a normal kid. I swear this house had some effect on people's feelings and whatnot. The strange thing is that I don't remember much of my childhood in the house as I remembered most of my childhood in school or playing outside. I remember being cruel to my pets while I lived there. I was never like that before or after. I was just a bad kid when we lived in that house. Outside of that, I was quite normal. The strange thing is that we moved about 5 blocks away from that house into a new apartment, and I thought things were back to being normal for almost half a year with no incidents, no fights between mom and dad, and when we all got together, it was fun again. I noticed it right away. The vibe, the change. I noticed that the old house was really dark inside. Half a year passed when I had my last incident one night. It was early, maybe 2:30 a.m. I woke up to use the restroom and I was able to, well, I was about, I'm sorry, 10 years old at the time. I remember lying down in the bed and getting uncomfortable. And that's when I felt my bed. It felt like it got shoved from one of the sides. At first, I stood still and thought maybe it was an earthquake. It passed and I played it off as, and maybe just my imagination. As I began to fall asleep again, I had the sensation of being cold and clammy, so I covered up. I felt feverish, and I felt a small pinch on one of my toes. I became frightened as I looked around in the dark and saw 3 black outlines around my bed.
The shadows, I thought to myself, were back. I became paralyzed as I screamed for help. I'm still not sure if I did try, but nothing came out. Or if I imagined screaming out, I don't know which. The point is, I was freaking screaming. I felt some cold weight on my chest as I became face to face with one of these entities. Still paralyzed, it looked me right in the eyes, and that's what I saw. Its eyes were black, like black velvet and evil looking. But the outside rim of its eyes were like this thin yellow line, like a black line and yellow mixed together all the way around the outside perimeter of where its eyes would be. Not just that, these lines were moving in a clockwise motion. Its two other shadow friends had red, and the other one had full yellow eyes. It was unreal as they all burst out in this wicked laughter and vanished, and they never bothered me like that again. Shadow people can move objects. I can touch people. I believe they can physically hurt people. There are theories that shadow people are alien beings. Some claim they are travelers from a different dimensional plane. Professor Stephen Hawking has talked about shadow people being a real possible phenomenon. Millions of people have had similar experiences and even video footage. There's photos of this phenomenon. You're not alone, and the best we can do is share our experience and hope to learn as much as we can about this story. Sorry about the sloppiness of my writing and spelling, but hope you can have a good heads up to the strange phenomenon. Good luck, Carlos. What's crazy, I mean, not just the scary sightings, is how he talked about when he lived in that house, like there was a lot of fighting between his parents.
Yeah.
He was cruel to animals. He just didn't feel himself. Like there was just a negative energy in that place.
That preyed on everyone.
And when they moved out, everything kind of went back to normal other than this one sighting. But the only other sighting, it only happened once and never again.
Yeah.
Like maybe they were saying goodbye to him in a strange way.
Oh, that is, I'm telling you, dude, the shadow stuff is disturbing. But like that, where everybody in the house felt it.
I'm interested if he ever asked his parents if they had seen the same thing. Like maybe he was messing with all of them, but they're all scared to tell each other because they don't want the other one to think they're crazy.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Or maybe it was all appearing to each other differently.
Right, but imagine being tormented and being pinched at night, all night long, almost every night.
Oh, no thanks.
And as a child, I mean, as a 9-year-old, 10-year-old, I mean, like, what are your options? It's not like you can just go, well, I'm packing up and moving.
Yeah, I'm out of here. Yeah, you got to just deal with it. You and I have discussed this several times when we've talked about kids with past lives, kids having these things, is when do you start taking them serious? Like, so many times, people don't take their children serious, especially about things like this. I think it's something that we need to address if you start having your kids start having issues with it, because as they get older, then you're like, you know, and I understand you don't want to like fuel the fantasy, but it's also something that you need them to listen. Look into.
Yeah, I would definitely say if your child has something strange, just take a minute to put the phone down.
Yeah.
Turn the TV off, like give them attention and listen to their story. Let them
open up and tell you, because like you said, it's horrible as a child to not have anyone there to help back you up and let you know that you're not losing your mind. Like maybe there is something going on. And it's just a very, very odd thing. I've got one I'm going to tell you about right here real quick with the cloaked entity.
Okay.
Where we were talking. This is what it says here. It says, I once met an older man in a gallery and we got to talking about spirituality. He shared his story about why he believes there is more out there than we know. I only met the guy once, but he had no reason to lie to me. He was very kind and interested in all of this stuff. And here's what he told me, and I'll do my best to remember. When he was around 16 or so, he was walking home one night after dark. It was snowing moderately after being in the suburbs, and there were only street lights and the occasional house to see by. All was quiet in the freshly falling snow. He looked back at one point, and under a street light, again, here we go, he saw a man standing, wearing a black hooded garment, which was gently flowing in the breeze. The man was looking at him, but he couldn't make out a face. It was far enough away that he kept walking and didn't immediately freak out. He looked back again, and he noticed that the cloaked figure was following him. It would stop moving whenever he would look, but it was slowly but surely tailing him. He walked faster, but it still followed him. And after a few minutes of this, he managed to gather up his courage and he decided to approach the man. The cloaked man was standing under another streetlight when he made the approach. As he walked closer, he noticed something that he didn't catch before. The man didn't have feet. In fact, the man didn't have a body at all. Whatever entity was wearing the black cloak couldn't be seen. It just looked to him like the cloak was floating in the air, gently flapping in the breeze, in the general shape of a person. He went within a few feet of it, and it just stayed right where it was. He stared at it for a bit, trying to comprehend what was going on. And then he was running. He ran the rest of the way home and looked out for the entity all night, but never saw it again. And so why this old man believed he could share the story with me, I'll never know, but I do appreciate it.
Wow.
So it makes me think about the Doctor Strange. Remember the cloak that grabs him and finds him and like hangs on? These entities that people have seen, these cloaked entity sightings, are all different shapes and sizes. Some are like 3 footers, where it looks like Jawas floating down the road. And then others are like, you know, 6 to 9 footers that are cloaked. It's very, very disturbing. With now we went from Shadow Man to Hat Man to cloaked entity.
It's crazy. I don't know what people are experiencing. If you have any stories like that, that you want to share with me and Cam and the listeners, do not hesitate to email the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. Let's take a break, and when we get back from the break, we'll wrap this show up. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. And we're back with Expanded Perspectives.
Woohoo!
Creepy stories, man. Terrifying, especially as a child. It seems like a lot of these beings start messing with you when you're a child, for whatever reason. We talk about that all the time. Poltergeists seem to like to mess with teenage girls for whatever reason. These shadow beings. I've even had people from that are adults. I've met a preacher one time who had experiences with it, and he totally felt that it was demonic. Mm-hmm. I've talked to a plumber one time that had these experiences. And what's strange is sometimes they affect you for a short time, and then you never see them again. Other times it's affected people their entire life. Some people, it's when they live in a particular area, mm-hmm. or they had a particular event in their life. They were in a bad marriage, or they had a drug or alcohol problem. And when they resolved the problem, the thing stopped. It's strange.
Not every story fits. Like most of this stuff, we want to compartmentalize it. We want it to be a certain thing, like we've already talked about. These have hats, these have cloaks, these don't, these show up then, these show up at this age. But that's not how this works.
Yeah.
It will manifest itself at strange and unusual times for strange and unusual reasons.
Mm, very.
Truly random and completely creepy. But really and truly also probably not random. It has to feed. It does it for a reason. It doesn't just do it to freak you out. It's getting something in return. Nobody gets up and goes to work just because.
Right. And it's scary because it's in your bedroom at night while you're trying to sleep.
Yes.
You know, like you always talk about, if you don't want to have an experience with Sasquatch, it's easy. Don't go in the woods.
Yeah, real simple. You don't want to get bit by a shark, don't get in the ocean.
Yeah, you have to go to sleep.
Yeah. And I still don't know why.
And you can't arm yourself. What good is it if you have a knife or a handgun? It's a mist.
That's what made Nightmare on Elm Street so creepy. You have to go to sleep. He's waiting for you.
Oh, those are good.
Right.
So what else you got planned for your week?
My daughter comes home. She's got something planned this weekend for the A&M Arkansas game. And three of my nieces are going with her. And they're all going over to the game because it's over in Jerry's World at the Death Star.
Right.
So they'll be over there messing around with that. But other than that, you and I have got some Dungeons and Dragons coming up. And outside of that, I don't know. I will probably just monkey around the place like normal. Just be me. That's about it. I don't really have any big plans. What about you?
Yeah, no big plans. I know that the State Fair of Texas is firing up, and I think in about a week or so, me and my wife are going to go over there.
I got you.
Not bring the kids.
Because can't afford it.
We want to actually, well, not that. Yeah, that's definitely true. But there's like always cool things to look at, like the cars and things like that, and the kids don't ever want to do that.
I'm an old man. I'd like to go look at the tractors.
Yeah.
Like when they had the tractor museum, they always have the cool stuff and all that. Yeah, I have not been, dude. Like we've talked about this before, like every year, whenever y'all go. I have not been since like junior high.
Yeah, well, they didn't have it last year because of the freaking coronavirus, but they are having it this year. But, man, it's fun to go over there and just look at all the showrooms, all the new products that are coming out, because there's little booths, you know, like you go at the Hunter's Extravaganza, except the fair has everything.
I may have to talk to my wife. We haven't been in for it. We ought to just make it a couple's date, and let's us four just go and walk around over there.
They got the interesting
like old men.
Interesting food and stuff. Yeah, I don't go near the rides, the Midway. I'm not interested in any of that.
No.
But, man, they've got all kinds of cool stuff.
I forgot about the food. That's where they always have some crazy fried foods and all kinds of stuff, don't they?
I stick with the staples. Like, you got to get a corn dog.
You get a turkey leg?
You got to get a turkey leg. You got to get a, like, funnel cake. And then some of the stuff you might try, some of the stuff I'm not interested in trying, but
some of the stuff I would have to visit, like they would have to be serving that stuff for the next 6 months in order for me to try it all.
Oh yeah. Oh right? God. Yeah. It's
because I go for one reason. I love funnel cakes.
Who doesn't?
And that's
when they're still warm.
Oh man. And I've made them at home and they're good, but they're not the same. They're just not the same.
It's just not the same.
Yeah. Just not it.
So I know that that's where we're planning. Outside
Are we watching the grappling matches this weekend?
I hope so.
Man, you are right.
Let's see. What else is coming up for us? There was something big coming up, a trip somewhere, and I don't remember. Oh, you're going out of town too soon, aren't
you? Yeah, I've got to go to Port A. We're going to run down there in a few weeks, go hang out down there, the whole family, like everybody, the whole thing, because my mother-in-law wanted some of her ashes scattered in the ocean.
Oh, so that's cool.
We're taking her down there for that. So she'll ride down there with us. I don't think she's here. I have to look around. She might be in my house. I may have her here. I have to see.
Speaking of passing away.
I need to take a picture of her with me and her. I have a picture of her and I together, and then I need to get her me with her urn. So.
Yeah, speaking of passing away, recently had another friend whose sister passed away from coronavirus. So another person we went to high school with.
44 years old.
That is, it's terrible.
Yeah.
What else was I going to say? We appeared on a podcast recently.
Yeah. With Thomas.
Thomas Boomhauer of the High Key Obsessed podcast. If you want to go over there and hear me and Cam talk about all the silly questions he asked us, especially towards the end of the interview, we did like a newlywed game.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, it was funny. I think we may have set the record.
For
the number of wins on the newlywed game.
Oh, well, it's not hard when you know somebody 30 years.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, we'll go ahead and give you, here's the teaser. We get 100%.
Yeah, so you might go check that out.
I think I know more about this guy than my wife.
Yeah, that's for sure. I don't know what it was. There's something else coming up, and I can't remember what it is. But anyways.
I'm sure it's the World Series. You're all excited. Yankees are going to get the wild card spot or something. So I know you're pumped. Big Yankee fan and Cardinal fan, because you always
I don't know what you're talking there. About. No. The Yankees are not very good.
They had a comeback, and they beat your favorite team.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. But anyways, you know the drill, folks. If you have any stories you'd like to share with me and Cam, do not hesitate. Email the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the show, 888-393-2783. You can follow us on all forms of social media. And until next time, folks, stay safe. I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.